Today we come to the waters, and yes, I have a cold. So I'm just letting you know ahead of time, it's not COVID and we are okay. We just don't sound great. Today we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence and to make new commitments on this very day to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new.
Wanna dunk down, down into the river. Wanna dunk down all the way down. Say, dunk down, down into the river. Gonna let it go all the way down. Say, oh Lord, here I go, let it go. Oh Lord, here I go, let it go.
Here I go. What a beautiful day it is. Welcome. Welcome in God's love, God's presence, and God's grace. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those who are gathering online at table.live. Our host, Stephen, is there, and you can write any questions or anything on the chat, and Stephen is there to help you and guide you. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary. Those are usually placed on the seats that you're sitting right at the end, or pasted outside. You can use your phone, and you can see many details. It will take you to our bulletin, our website, and sign up sheets for hospitality, for pre-order tape bread, and many more. If you are new to our community, there's a number on the screen. That number will eventually take you to our site, to a backside database, and Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda will see that, and we'll reach out to you, and it will get you connected to our community. And one of the greatest ways to connect through the community is growing in faith. And growing in faith is designed to help welcome people, so if you're ready, then you can sign up on our website. Today is a very beautiful day because we are thrilled to celebrate baptism and share deep commitment this morning. And I would like to invite Nancy, our administrative community board, in here this morning to share more about with us.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Allen, and I serve as chair of our table's administrative board. When I was in high school, our teacher, our Sunday school class teacher in my Methodist church back in Virginia, he had three letters he would keep on the blackboard. It said S-T-E. It stood for Set the Example. And it was a reminder to us that as the oldest kids in church, the younger members would look up to us. It also served as a reminder that Jesus set the example for us to follow. I learned from my parents and at church and in my professional life that leading by example is important. In fact, a few years ago, I had to write a leadership philosophy for work, and I included the line that I would never ask a member of my team to do something that I wasn't willing to do myself. As a member of the table's administrative board, it's important to me that we lead the way for members of our community. So last year and again this year, the entire admin board has completed our 2024 deep commitment cards before we move forward in inviting you to do the same today. Last week at our monthly board meeting, we affirmed support for 5 community goals in the coming year. First, to plan and kick off a capital campaign to reinvigorate the entrance of our campus. To transition Table Farm to a stable long-term location and to restart Table Bread. To say yes to new regional discipleship opportunities and determine how to best serve our growing community of faith in both Sacramento and Yolo County. And lastly, to continue to increase the diversity and capacity of our lay leadership, professional staff, and pastors. These goals and our life here gathered around the table are what you will be supporting and nourishing when you join us in giving generously. I also love that we are challenged each year to think about how we will root our lives in grace, grow in faith, and reach in love as part of the deep commitments process. This year, I want to follow the example of faithful stewardship set by my friend Joan. Joan was a member of my kitchen table, who we said goodbye to a few months ago. She passed away. But Joan took her deep commitments very seriously, and she kept a copy of them in her Bible. In fact, she had all of them for the entire time that she had been a part of the table. And she would look back, she said, and reflect on the commitments she had made. So this year, my goal is to follow Joan's example and keep my deep commitments in a visible location where I will remember them and hold myself accountable. Matt and Linda will also use these deep commitments to plan our worship and understand where our community wants to root their lives in grace, grow in faith, and reach in love. Our hope is that you and your family will take some time to prayerfully consider your 2024 deep commitments. Lastly, the administrative board wishes to extend our deep gratitude for all the beautiful ways that you will be a part of the table in the coming year. Thank you.
And I'll invite us to stand in body or in spirit, and our musicians are going to lead us in song. This is called Let the Waters.
Thank you.
invite us to be seated.
This is the water on which God breathed, and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us. All creeping things, all races, all male and female.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree, whose branches bore the fruit that we were not to taste.
This is the water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that's meant to tell us God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God. This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprung from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
These are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst of sins. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded to God for forgiveness and received it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan. That day they saw the dove and heard from deep within a voice crying, "You are my beloved. In you my heart sings for joy."
Those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria where Jesus chatted unchaperoned with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
This is the water that he used to cut the wine at his last meal.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
This is the water that binds us to him when shame and sin and death are all destroyed. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
My name is Bob Martinez, and I am so glad, whether you're joining us online or in person, so glad to welcome you on this very special Sunday morning here at the table. Now, while we usually invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries at this point in worship, we invite our children to stay with us this morning as we celebrate baptism together. Binders with art materials are available in the back of the sanctuary, and professional loving childcare is just down the hall for anyone who desires it. Our reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 34 through 40. I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to follow along. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, Rabbi, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
All right, if you're old enough to know Lauren Bacall, I'm pretending I'm her. Right. When I talk up here, it's better, but I can't maintain that for a whole message. We've been in a beautiful worship series featuring the poetry of Ross Gay and his book, Inciting Joy. And I want to share a little part from an essay that he wrote in that book about dancing. And it'll be on the screen too. "For the past 4 or 5 years, I've kept a post-it note stuck to a bookshelf next to my bed. It is a quotation, something my friend Patrick said in a conversation one day when we were talking about dancing. He was describing a recent night out in a crowd. Some time had elapsed, some warming up, some groove prepared. I think a particular song came on, and then boom, something happened. And he described it like this: we went free. The actual second he said it, I smiled and shook my head no, and then shook my head like this dude and scribbled the phrase on my hand and then in my notebook, which I shortly thereafter transcribed to the post-it note that I've had stuck there all these years. It reminds me of Nancy's Sunday school teacher with the note up at the top of the board, STE. Because when we post something like that or next to our bed, I think it's because we want to be reminded of something important first thing in the morning, last thing at night. I wonder if anyone here has heard of a young man whose name is Garrett Lee. I hadn't heard of him either, it's okay. Yeah. He was a person who did TikTok videos. And he did one, and it had over 1.4 million, that's with an M, million views. And he was written up in the New York Times. That's where I learned about him. It was for something he called the Pine Grove Shuffle. Not very elaborate, but also kind of catchy. And the interviewer was talking to him, and this is what he said. I'm not a super depressed person, but it makes me feel sad a little bit. That's kind of why my facial expressions are that way in the video, because I can't really control it when the song comes on. The song was hitting my soul in a different way. The lyrics that stand out for us during Lee's dance, which he didn't say he posted next to his bed, I just want to be clear, are this. Nothing here to care about. But it's kind of deceptive. For to dance this dance is to actually show that you do care and that you're not going to go down without a fight. With the physique of a football player, which he was until recently, he glides through the movement, speaking through his body, and it's about a longing, he says, in the real world, which on the actual day that he filmed this TikTok, it wasn't cloudy in the usual way. The clouds that you see in the sky are the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. So let's watch his original dance.
Nothing here to care about.
All right, everybody, get up and do it. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I practice in my living room, and it's really easy. Well, that was his original, and this is what it turned into. It's actually catchy because it's a 6-4 beat, but it seems also a recording to me of when people, either individuals or couples or in groups, went free. It's just a quieter way. There was a worldwide gathering of United Methodists in Fort Worth, Texas, a really long time ago, because I attended with my parents. And I wasn't out of the house yet. That's how I know it was a long time ago. It wasn't like a legislative gathering. It was a celebration of prayer and worship and education. And people came from all over the globe. There were, it was the first time I'd seen this in mass, translators for every single language that was represented there. And I enjoyed my time there, But I found it in the worship especially to be pretty restrictive. Or a lot of sitting in rows. And it was very staid and proper and what I would call an inside-the-box worship. Prayer was always spoken, and there were no candles anywhere that I could recall, which just doesn't make sense to me on a deep level. And I'm not saying there's anything particularly wrong with it. It just was boring, right? And I was probably 17, so that helped. The finale of the whole week where I had been in all of these settings was in an enormous convention center, really big, like Golden One big. It held thousands and thousands of people. It was also very traditional, and at the end was the benediction, as you would imagine, and the leader spoke it out to the gathering and blessed everyone on their way, and that was it, and it was time for everyone to go and to quietly file out. And at that very same moment, and I don't think it was planned, the steel drums that were up on stage started to play. And at the next moment, bam, everybody in the whole place, it just felt almost like an earthquake because everybody moved at once. I've never seen anything like it before or since, even at the Greek Theater in Berkeley with Mumford and Sons. Still didn't see it. Like, this was steel drums and all kinds of percussion. And people stayed and danced for what felt like an hour, but I think it was probably 15 minutes. Kids were on parents' shoulders. People in wheelchairs were going around. And that was my really, really deep example that I always go to when I think of people that went free. Because they were so, like, in suits and had been so proper. Dr. Aristotle Papanikolaou, there I did it, teaches freshman theology at Fordham University. One of his main goals is to make his students aware that their ideas about theology, their interpretation of the religious experience in terms of being religious versus being spiritual, and their resistance to and caricatures of what it means to be religious didn't come out of a vacuum. Students who declare to him that they are spiritual as opposed to religious tend to have, he says, like a monolithic view of religion, which religions themselves, I think, have often fostered. They think to be part of a religion is to blindly accept an authoritarian structure that dictates what should be believed and is run by dictatorial leaders and tries to scare people into compliance by reminding them of the possibility of hell. I know some people in this room have come from that kind of a story. Students think the gist of religion then is to do and believe what one is told so as to get a reward after death. They also think religion is hypocritical as it seems not to practice what it preaches. And in spite of the measure of truth, actually, that is embedded in these students' claims, it is his goal to show his students that it can be otherwise. And the otherwise is an understanding of the human being as called to be in a relationship of communion with the divine, with God. Well, since Fordham University has a special Bachelor of Fine Arts program with the Alvin Ailey School, he uses dance as an analogy with his students. He asks his students this, whether someone who has studied dance but has never danced knows dance as well as someone who has trained as a dancer. Those are Alvin Ailey students you'll be seeing. And the students immediately and instinctively answer that the trained dancer knows more about dance. Well, the professor then tries to lead them to articulate for themselves what this knowing consists of. If it's not simply reading books about dance and attending dance performances. And this is what he writes. A dancer must, submit to a regimen of training that usually begins with basic practices that must be mastered to the point where they are performed without even thinking. This training is done under the tutelage of a teacher who has been through the training. The student of dance then progresses to more advanced practices, still under the guidance of a teacher, struggling to integrate the techniques of dance into their very being as a dancer. And to illustrate this, Dr. Papanakalau turns to the same scripture we heard this morning and shares it with his students. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" he said to him. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." What turns out to be the last question for Jesus from his opponents in this section is really our ultimate question. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" The questioning is there to test Jesus and to see if his knowledge and judgment are able to pass muster. And Jesus responds by citing something from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, 19, a wise, insightful, and learned response coming from both of those Hebrew Bible books, born of his years of practice. At the same time, it's not very provocative what he said. That's because the gospel writer of Matthew is consistently concerned with presenting Jesus as the consummate Jew. And Jesus' answer here demonstrates his standing as a brilliant and practicing rabbi with deep knowledge of the tradition. One scholar notes that the fact that his opponents, Jesus' opponents, don't respond indicates they find his answer both conventional and satisfactory. In short, he has passed their test. So many of us have heard Jesus sum up the law with this twofold command to love God and neighbor. It's one of the most familiar teachings. Matt and I share it in every single growing in faith group that we go through. Less familiar, though, is just what sort of love, the love that's referred to in there, that Jesus has in mind. See, it was a common exercise among religious scholars of the day to debate which of the 613 commandments in the law is the greatest, meaning the one that sums up the essence of the whole or serves as the hub at the so-called center of all of the 613. The so-called Shema is what that is, which is translated as listen, figured largely in Israelite liturgy and life, and still does. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's Deuteronomy. "And love your neighbor as yourself." That's Leviticus. They're relatively minor commandments among the 613, as I say, but at the same time, one sometimes calls them the quintessential commandments. See, the context of Leviticus 19 is worth our thinking about, since it indicates what sort of love Jesus is talking about. The verses before that command Israel to leave gleanings in the fields. If you don't know what gleanings are, it's after all the pickers come through, they don't get everything, and there's always leftover. And then people of poverty means come through, or church youth groups, we called them gleaners, and we would go through and we would pick every last bit and then give it to the food bank. So the verses before it command Israel to leave gleanings in the fields for the impoverished and for the immigrants, and to refrain from dishonesty, from stealing, mistreating the disabled, corruption, slander, and hatred. And finally, in verse 18 itself, refrain from vengeance. "You shall not take vengeance," it says, "or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So Jesus is picking those commandments out, and that's the setting. So first, it's a love that looks like listening, keeping God's commandments for the sake of personal and communal well-being, And second, it's a love that looks like kindness. It looks like disavowing all claims to vengeance. And as a bloody and heartbreaking war is waged in Israel and Gaza, right very much now as we are sitting here, and as a divisive election season in the United States is heating up, I hope this kind of love is worth exploring for all of us. So consider this for a second. And this comes because I have a husband who's a contractor who has a whole lot of expensive tools. So if I have a neighbor whom I pretty much hate, and towards them I feel deep anger, but I loan them my husband's very expensive tile saw to help with their bathroom remodeling project so that they can save a whole lot of money on rental fees, have I fulfilled the commandment to love? You see, followers of Jesus have a problem when we know in our hearts that we harbor hate and anger for our neighbor, even if we give them the tile saw. So how do we change our hearts? And please don't tell me, oh, after church, you can love someone without liking them, Pastor Linda. So I'm not accepting that as an answer. I knew it. Loving one another takes practice. For example, our loathing for our neighbor may be overcome if we commit to having a conversation with them as we pass each other at the mailboxes. Hey, how are you enjoying your new remodel? Fine. Really? It's okay. It was a lot of work. Oh. Well, I walk the dog every night after supper. You're welcome to join me and Mark and kick around some remodeling hints with him. He's been in the business a while. Or something like that. See, I think most of us understand that a couple, even, who has been committed to one another in marriage for 40 years, have a love that's different than when they first met. And a celebration of 40 years also does not mean it has been 40 years free from temptation and even betrayal either. I hope we understand that two people to celebrate such a love that has achieved a depth not present at the very beginning, way back then, of the relationship, they had to perform practices. These practices both sustain the relationship and make it possible for love to go deeper and deeper into the depths. So then, back to Dr. Papanakalau, I'm proud of myself that I can say that, teaches his students and reminds all of us, being religious then is about being in a way that embodies the divine presence and working towards being available to the divine presence in and through religious practices and tradition. Being religious, then, is not a set of rules one must follow or a bunch of propositions to which one must assent. It's first and foremost an art form, an expression of beauty that is also truth and goodness. The rules and propositions of the tradition, and every tradition, have its rules and propositions aim at the production of the person as a work of art. This morning, we are going to baptize five, right? And renew baptism for those of us who are already baptized here in this room. We also, as Nancy invited us, are invited to make our deep commitments online. And we do this with specific words, these baptisms, and the sign of the watery cross on foreheads and on heads. And by committing ourselves to the practices in our deep commitments of how we want to root our lives in grace and grow in faith, reach in love, and give generously, as we all aim at producing ourselves and others who are works of art. That's all of us. Baptism only happens once, and we renew it, though, over and over again, because we know it takes practice to live into the vows we make or those that were made on our behalf, as in the case of myself, when I was just an infant. And while it happens to a person, it's our communal sacrament of being born again and again by grace into the mysterious love of God. And while Ross Gay is not specifically writing about baptism, I believe he understands the mysterious love by writing about this moment like this. And though I wasn't there, he's talking about when his friend went dancing, I have been there enough times to know exactly what he means when he said we went free, which can happen any number of ways, seems to me. For instance, right now, I can more or less guarantee you that if there were 15 or 20 people of my generation and perhaps a few other subject position-y things, if new additions, if it isn't love, or troops spread my wings, or a tribe called Quest scenario, one or any other of 500 or so songs, 1,000 of them, incidentally, by Prince, came over some cosmic speakers, we would, regardless of the setting, I'm telling you, whether it was yoga class or at a snoozy literary conference, I'll add snoozy church service, or at a stoplight or a funeral, boom, jump up and start dancing. Good chance someone, this is one of Pat's callings, or several someones, then when the song announced itself, as those songs do, would yell some diphthongy vow to gather us up like, ooh. That's always me, if you listen in worship, that's me yelling. As though sent together by an invisible source, we would all together now go free. And so this is our hope, that we all together may go free in every one of the places that we move and have our being. May it be so. Let's say amen.
So friends, baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God's love made known and expressed in Jesus, who we claim to be our hope. And we celebrate God's faithfulness and the new creation that God promises through the sacrament of baptism. And so this moment, we invite those that we have been meeting with. We have three families and two adults, and we want to invite those folks to come to the front, right up here in front of the baptismal font. Those coming to the waters for the sacrament of baptism are marked as beloved children of God and initiated into the subversive community of faith that God has always already been calling and forming into being.
All right, everybody take a breath. Make sure your knees aren't locked, okay? I will now speak just to the adults coming to the waters to be baptized and the adults who bring these beautiful babies towards the waters of God's love, okay? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you as Christ's body, the church, promise to do all in your power through grace to love your neighbor by refraining from harm in all the ways you can, renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness, rejecting the evil powers of this world, and repenting of sin? If so, say, I do. And do you as Christ's body, the church, promise to do all in your power through grace to love your neighbor by accepting the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. And do you as Christ's body, the church, promise to stay in love with God and celebrate God's love for you and the whole world by confessing Jesus Christ as Savior, putting your whole trust in God's grace, promising to serve God as the ecclesia, which Christ has opened to the people of all ages, nations, races, cultures, gender identities, and sexual orientations? If so, say, I do. And then to the families, okay, to the moms and dads presenting children this morning for baptism, especially the ones with tap shoes. Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life rooted in living out the great commandment. If so, say, I will. I
will. And I'll invite our whole community gathered to stand, and for those online to join us. We recognize that there are many who are here and long to be part of this community of faith, and that there are others who are here for the very first time, and we don't want to put any pressure on you to say anything that you don't feel led to say, so we just invite you to be in a spirit of prayer, and for those of us who long to make this a place where we share in God's love and life together, I invite you to join with us in this responsive commitment to our own baptismal vows. So do you, friends, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin, the brokenness of the world, and your commitment to the love made known in Jesus? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these beautiful persons before us now in your care? I invite us to share with one voice. With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Amen.
Amen.
To join us, and Lisa and Nancy to help us. And we'll move now, friends, into a call and response, a back and forth. We will serve as one, and we invite you to join with us in the role that says all or people. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Almighty God, the life you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting.
Your healing river flows. Your Spirit blows where you will. We cannot stop you, God.
But sometimes we try.
We try to block the flow. We redirect the winds of the Spirit, or we walk so far away from the life-giving stream that we do not perceive it, and we forget its power. We parch ourselves.
We are dry and thirsty, O God. Come, refresh us.
Come upon us, Holy Spirit.
Come upon us, Holy Spirit.
Come upon these waters.
Come upon
these waters.
Let these waters be to us drops of your mercy.
Let these waters remind us of your righteousness and justice.
Let these waters renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus.
Let these waters make us long for your coming reign.
Most holy God,
glory to you.
Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord.
Glory to you.
Spirit of fire, Spirit over the waters, Spirit of holiness.
Glory to you.
Eternal God, one in three, three in one.
All glory is yours now and forever.
Amen. So we'll invite, as our musicians share one more time, the chorus to take me to the water, Crystal and Brandy to join us here at the baptismal font.
Take me to the water.
Crystal Ann, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, our God, the Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Loving God, may your Holy Spirit work within Crystal, that being born through water and Spirit, she may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brandy Marie, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Brandy, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Take me to the water.
Evely Ann, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Holy Spirit, work within you, that being born through water and Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So take me to the
to be.
Spencer James, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So take me to the
you in the name of God who made us, in the name of Jesus who saved us, in the name of the Holy Spirit who sustains us. I mark you with the sign of the cross to remind you to whom you belong.
Amen. Amen.
So take me to the
It is our joy to welcome these beautiful children of God as siblings in Christ. We commend them and their families to your love and care. May we do all in our power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
And I'll invite us. I hope we'll have a prayer on a screen, and we're going to share this with one voice together. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace establish in you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace.
Amen.
Amen.
So take me to the water.
I invite you to be seated. We are going to keep moving in this celebration of baptism. And we're going to take time now to make space for those of us who have been baptized to come to stations, and we'll have four of those. Sandra will be here at the front of the sanctuary with this baptismal font. Dave, who just got to baptize his beautiful grandchild, will be in the back of the sanctuary where there is a baptismal font as well. Pastor Linda will be over on the left side, or to the left for me, over on the side near the stained glass, and I'll be on the side over here where the musicians are. We recognize that for many of us, we are here wondering about the significance of baptism, having never come to the waters. And we just invite you to be in a spirit of prayer. And if you'd like to wonder more about that, Linda or myself, Lisa or Nancy would love to have conversation with you after worship about what that could mean for you. For those of us who have been baptized, we invite you to move to one of those stations if and as you feel led to renew that commitment. We will also take time now to share of our own deep commitments of how we long to share in life together with God and one another, and we can do that online. So our musicians will help us with song, and I'll invite you to move now to any of the stations as you feel led, or to just stay in a spirit of prayer right where you are.
Thank you.
God, may the depths of your love for the world be felt in the watery crosses upon our heads and be known in the depths of our own souls, that your new life might bring hope and that our love might come to flow like a river. We offer this in our lives, in your creative ways, in many names. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able in body or in spirit. Our musicians will send us out in song. We hope that you will wonder about the next steps God is taking you to, diving into those deep commitments, sharing in life together. This is Flow Like a River.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Go forth from this place recommitted, renewed, and ready to go free. Amen.